The following is a presentation of Remnant.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Frank Garcia.
Can you hear me now? See, I got volume in my lungs. I had it on mute. It's good to see you all this morning at Remnant. I love to pan the congregation to see all the bright sunshining, woken up faces for the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen. Miss you guys. We love you guys here at Remnant. Welcome if you're here for the first time. If you're trying to periscope me or anything, good luck, man, because I don't know how to stand still for Jesus. We're continuing this Walk the Line series on grace. How many of you this week had a challenging Walk the Line week? Right? Yes. Some hands coming up. I did too. It's just nonstop, and it's part of life. Some of us have to work. Some of us have to be housewives. Some of us have to just do something. And God created us to serve and to do. He didn't create us just to sit there. Just picture yourself like a ship. A ship is not built to be parked alongside the harbor because it rots. The ships are made to go out in the ocean and take on the waves of life. And when you want to turn your ship back around and the waves are hitting, when the ship turns sideways, it's gonna drown. The ship is built to go over the waves, not turn from the waves. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you, and we love you, and we praise you in this building this morning. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place and speak to our hearts, God. Wherever we're at today, help us, Lord. Let your grace rain on us and your mercy pour out on our lives. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be speaking out of Romans chapter 1. Privileged grace. There was a little mix-up with the PowerPoints, but I'm calling this one privileged grace because God's grace is good for us. And God's grace is always available to us. Amen. Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. I'm reading out of the God's Words translation. Yours might read a little different, but here we go. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. From Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle and appointed to spread the good news of God. God had already promised his good news through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. This good news is about his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his human nature, he was a descendant of David. In his spiritual, holy nature, he was declared the Son of God. This was shown in a powerful way when he came back to life. Through him, we have received God's kindness and the privilege of being apostles who bring people from every nation to the obedience that is associated with faith. That is for the honor of his name. You are among those who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you're in here this morning and you believe in Jesus Christ, he has called you out. And he's given us a privilege to live for him and serve him and most of all, trust him. And it's hard sometimes when the battles of life hit. I know that. But we must press and continue. Amen? There's a story about grace. There's many stories about grace. But in my studies, I found that grace has a lot of other meanings. There's so much to grace. Amen? And I want to focus on verse 5 where it says, to whom we have received kindness. Some scriptures say kindness. Some say privilege. And most of the Bibles I looked through out of all the 36 texts I read, most of them have grace. So we're privileged to have this grace. What does grace look like today to us, right now in this time and era? I'll tell you a little story about a speedster that had a sports car. This man had a sports car, and he was eager just to step on it. It was always in his garage, and he couldn't drive it faster than the speed limit. We know that. So he took it off to some country road where no one's around, and no one's around, and there he is. He goes, here it is. He steps on it. His speedster starts going 90, 100, 120, 140, and he's peaking at 160, which is as fast as that car went, and he's like going for it, and he's enjoying it. And whoosh, he flies by a highway patrol, slams the brake, starts pumping it, slows it down. Sure enough, he pulls over, and he's waiting for the highway patrol. Sure enough, the highway patrol rolls in, gets off, driver's license, registration, please. Hands it, goes, you know how fast you're going? Yeah, 160. Yeah, that's pretty fast, isn't it? Yeah. You think you could have caused an accident? Yeah. You think someone could have got hurt? Yeah. Open the hood. Let me look at it. Get out of your car. Shows them the hood, looking at the engine. They start talking about the motors and his car he has, the officer has at home. And they get into a conversation. And they're just down the road from a coffee shop. The high patrol tells them, go have a coffee and continue talking. They talked all morning, all up to lunch. They even had lunch together. And the officer says, well, have a good day, walks away, pays the bill. The guy's sitting there confounded. This highway patrol loved God, and he showed him grace. See, sometimes we're going to live our lives recklessly, not caring, but God's grace is always there. Amen? I got one more real quick. I'm full of stories this morning. Hope you laugh at this one. This was a funny one. A man dies, goes to heaven. Of course, as all the jokes go, runs into Peter at the pearly gate. Peter goes, well, this is how it works, sir. Glad you're here, by the way. The only way to come in, he goes, you got to have 100 points. And I'm going to judge you by points, by what you did back on earth, how you lived your life. The man's like, oh, I got this. I need to make 100 points, no problem. Okay, tell me anything good you did back on earth, and I'll start rating you right now so you can come in. The man goes, well, this is an easy one. I was with my wife over 50 years, never cheated on her, never got her angry, took care of her till I died. Good, Peter goes, 3 points. 3 points? Oh, okay. Tell me something else, Peter tells him. The man goes, okay, well, I worked at a Salvation Army, and I did soup kitchen every Friday night, and I fed hungry people. Peter goes, that's pretty good, 1 point. 1 point? Yep. Tell me another one. Well, the last one I can recall is I always went to a hospital once a week and prayed for people. Me and my children, I taught them how to pray, and we'd go to hospitals when we could and prayed for people. We served as much as we could. By the way, we also served at our church. Peter goes, that's pretty good. 2 points. 2 points? Man, the guy goes, at this rate, I'll only enter by God's grace. Peter says, come on in. There you have it. A semi-formal view of grace. Through whom we have received the privilege. Today, all humanity is privileged to receive God's grace. As I said earlier, there are different types of grace. I'm going to talk about three of them. Amen? One is common grace. The second one is sovereign grace. And the third one will be saving grace. But what is common grace? Common grace is God's favorable attitude over all creatures. And you're going to understand this in a minute as I get into it. Even non-believers benefit from this grace. It's amazing that people are just living their lives, not even thinking about God, or mention God, or ashamed to mention God. But common grace is there. God's common grace is always there. Look at Psalms 145:9. I'm just going to answer you with scripture. What common grace is. It says in Psalms 145:9, the Lord is good to everyone and has compassion for everything he has made. That's common grace. Everyone's living off that. Look at Luke 6:35. Rather, love your enemies, help them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then you will have a great reward. You will be the children of the Most High God. After all, He is kind to the unthankful and evil people. Isn't that amazing? There's people out there that are doing, committing evil acts, and common grace is there. I didn't know that till I started studying this. That's a good God. He's still giving grace to these people, common grace. Look at Matthew 5:45. He makes his sun rise on people whether they are good or evil. He lets the rain fall on them, He lets the rain fall on them whether they are just or unjust. God's always blessing his people. And so many overlook it, override it. Me and my wife pray every morning before I go to work. Every morning. We sit on our couch, hold hands, and we pray. And one of the things we always lift up to God is we thank you for our home, this clothes, the shoes we're wearing, the food, our jobs. Some of us are probably not happy with our jobs, but God has us there. And we need to stick it out because God's common grace is there. He's still blessing. You see, everyone breathing on this planet is a product of God's common grace. Everyone is benefiting, is privileged. But yet people overlook it. People think they're good on their own. I was talking to someone earlier before service with a good brother of mine that people could have so much knowledge, worldly knowledge that is, knowledge of humanity and history, but if they don't have the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, you have nothing. You're going to have problems. We need the knowledge of the Holy Spirit in us. And this common grace is what provides it. See, God's common grace restrains evil as well. Look at Genesis 20:6. Yes, I know that you did this with a clear conscience, God said to him in a dream. In fact, I kept you from sinning against me. That is why I didn't let you touch her. This is King Abimelech when Abraham was coming into this country. And Abraham told his wife, you know what? You're very pretty. You're good looking. So when we get to the city, we're just brothers and sisters. Let's not tell the king. So the king allows him to stay there. Because if that was his wife, they would probably kill Abraham and take his wife. And he let him in, gave him a place. But the king saw one night they were courting each other. Courting means when the husband kind of is hugging on the wife and kissing on her neck. And the king was going to take this wife and he would have sinned against God. And God prevented it. That's common grace. Sometimes, guys, when you're going to do something wrong and we commit it, his grace is there, but there'll be repercussion for it. I know this for a fact personally. When we're ready to do that act, we shouldn't. Something's already telling you. You feel it in your gut. This is wrong. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't say this. And we still do it. This is where the repercussion comes, even though God's grace is still there. He's warned us over and over in Scripture. What more do we want? It's right there. He restrains evil as well, as much as he can. He's not going to force you. He's not going to force you. And he helped Abimelech in this case. He also hardens hearts. How many of you this week got, oh, man, I'm not. Some of us had that week today. I know I did in my mind. I always tell my wife, it seems like I'm the only one working in the office sometimes. I go, God, I need your common grace right now. I'm ready to strangle someone. They all look like they're having fun in the office, and I'm running around. But it's part of my job, and half of it is my fault. I'm the type that I want to help and dive in wherever I can serve and help at work. And so now it's easy to have Frank will do it. Frank will unload it. Frank will receive it. Oh, well. But I need his grace. And he'll help you through it. But sometimes our hearts get hard, and God allows that and makes it happen. Look at Exodus 4:21. The Lord said to Moses, when you get back to Egypt, see that you show Pharaoh all the amazing things that I have given you the power to do. But I will make him stubborn so that he will not let the people go. You know, all this time, I thought Pharaoh was just mean and it was just him causing all this. No, God permits it. You want to be stubborn and have a hard heart and act like a mule sometimes? He'll let you. He'll let you. Go ahead. His common grace is still there. He is still there. We need to make the choice. Life's about choices, guys. I didn't know this till I was older in my life. I didn't know that my choices were going to affect my future. And now through Scripture, it shows me how it's going to affect. And if you serve God and you give your life to Him, His grace will just pour on you and pour on you. And that doesn't mean you're going to have a clean slate and life is going to be pretty, dandy, dandy, and happy every day. It's going to be rough sometimes, but that's what strengthens your faith. If we don't go through stuff, we'll never grow. We'll be so comfortable just getting overweight spiritually. We're like a big blown-up tick on a dog that just can barely move. You need to go out there and share it and live it and give it. Spread the gospel. That's our mission, period. God's coming, grace is always there, but you want to have a hard heart and you want to be stubborn, you go right ahead. God will let you. And sometimes He needs to do that to us so we can get it. Sometimes we will hit a wall so we can get it. Some of us have hard heads. We have to hit that wall like 5 or 6 times. I hit that wall many times before Christ. Many times. And I didn't get it. You know when I got it? When Frank was at the bottom of the barrel, scraping mud, no one trusted him, no one wanted to be around him, and no one could confide in him. They saw scum. They saw a man that was worthless. A man that couldn't even take care of his kids. A man that couldn't hold his job. And on top of that, a man that was addicted to drugs and alcohol and women. God's coming grace. I said, all right, Frank, I'm going to roll my sleeve up all the way to my neck. And he reached in. Pull me out. Do I ever want to let go of that? No. Do I ever want to forget that? No. You know why I don't forget it? Because He reminds me. I remember that wall. I don't want to hit that wall no more. And I still hit walls, but they're a little lower. I can jump some of those. Like the Bionic Man. Remember the Bionic Man? But you know where I get that power? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says you're like a deer, man. You can climb up mountains. And the mountains are rough for a reason. And those deer were created so they can climb these mountains like nothing. You have that strength, and so do I. There's going to be walls to jump, hurdles to jump. You're going to hit some landmines in your life. But you keep going. Get up, dust off, and keep going. Don't look back. Don't be like the ship and turn back. You're going to topple over. And then you're stuck. Then you're drowning. And a lot of times, and I've seen people sit across from me in counseling, is drowning, and they don't want help. I got it, Frank. I think I can float here for another 10 years. Okay. God's right there wanting to pull you out. This is someone floating, by the way. They're just there. Just there. God's coming grace is always reaching to those that are lost. Especially the lost. Quit judging those that are messing up. Go love on them and draw them. I'm reaching for my family and praying for them and doing little things, whatever I can to show God's love. Because God showed me love through other people that brought me to where I'm at now. Through other people. His grace was always there because my heart was so hard. We can be stubborn. Also, God will refuse. Some will refuse His grace. Some will refuse His coming grace. Look at Psalms 81, 11 through 12. Psalms 81, 11 through 12, it says this, but my people did not listen to me. These are the believers. Mind you, it says, but my people, Israel, wanted nothing to do with me, so I let them go. Their own stubborn ways and follow their own advice. Their own advice. You know, sometimes I have people, and I'm going to have a person in my life here pretty soon. They want to sit with me, and they want me to counsel them and guide them, but don't use the Bible. Don't use God. Just show me how my life can change. My only answer is I got to put this first. This is the only thing that can change you. Me and no one else can change a life. God can. And His word is that powerful. And for someone to want to counsel with you and try not to mention God, for me, it's impossible. Because you need God. That's the only thing that's going to make it work, make it happen. I tell you from living experience, 16 years, guys, I was lost partying and living it up, but I was blind. And God's common grace was there all the time, like I told someone this morning as well, because I talk a lot and I talk with a lot of people in the morning. I told them God could have gave me some kind of something in my body because I consumed and did things with my body that I'm not proud of. And God could have brought something on me, and he didn't. You know why? Because he saw my predestined life, that one day he would draw me out and he'd use me for him so I could be shouting about the glory of God and his power. Amen. Give him glory. Give him glory. Because it's God, folks. It's nothing I did. All I did was a mess. All I did was chaos. All I did was hurt my family. And it took my family 10 years to actually confide in me and say, okay, he's a pastor and he can pray for us. Now they confide in me. They'll call me for prayer. They trust me because it's Jesus. It's not even me. It's the position we hold. This common grace is amazing. And people refuse it. Look at Romans 1:28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to their depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Listen, you're going to live a life, or you know someone that's living a life that's not proper before God, you're going to have some problems. But you cannot say God is not there, because God is always there. And we just spoke about common grace, and that's what common grace is. Something he's always provided since he spoke creation into being. Where's God? He's never around. Really? Where do you sleep at? What have you been eating lately? Where do you get your strength from? How are you breathing? That's God all the way across. Yet we neglect this power and go on our own advice, our own way. Oh, you know what? He doesn't have the answer. I'm going to go to him. You know what? He doesn't have the answer. I'm going to go to him. Go to the Bible and see how wrong it is. People don't want to go to Scripture. They don't want to open it and see what God says. And then you show it to them. Then they don't like it. Then they won't talk to you. Man, we're funny people. I am glad the Bible says God has a sense of humor. He must look down and just laugh. Gosh, man, these sheep of mine. That's the dumbest animal. That's why I call them sheep. But hey, God will let you. But you can never say God's never there, or where's God, or why is God permitting this? Because only he knows. Which takes us to my next point. Not yet. Let me say this one thing I wrote here. If God didn't restrain evil that resides in humans' hearts, humanity would have destroyed itself a long time ago. This common grace that sometimes you want to do bad and you kind of just, okay, I'm going to be nice, I'm going to do the right thing, and you do it, that's common grace too. God restrains us from evil. Because if God didn't have common grace when he spoke creation into the world from the beginning of time, we wouldn't have lived past the Old Testament. People would have wiped themselves out. It started with Cain and Abel from the beginning, the first two sons ever born. One already killed another one. So if God didn't naturally, spiritually give us this common grace that we can practice, we would kill each other. I think I said this in one of my last sermons. We are the only creature out of all creation God created, all animals, of all beings that God created. We are the only creature that kill each other physically and with our words. You never see dolphins in the ocean apart, and they're killing each other. You never see muskrats climbing in trees and choking each other. You don't see the horses out there trying to buck each other and kill each other to death. No, they work together. They're in unity. See, we as humans made that choice to sin and turn down God's grace and live as humans and how this world says we're to live. Look at the world now. Look how bad it is, folks. You need to see it. I'll always keep reiterating every time I get up here. This world's getting worse. You need to grow in your grace and grow in God's word so you can understand what we're seeing. Yet people want you to talk to them and not use his word. It's all in here. He restrains this evil. And look what God wants for us. After restraining us from doing bad things sometimes, after giving us everything we need, like the air we breathe and the jobs we have and the food we have, look what he still does for us and what he wants for us. Jeremiah 29:11. Most of you know it by memory. I don't. It says this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. God's plan is to bless us and to be glorified to Him. I've told you over and over, the gift you see back here, me playing the drums, is God's. One day, yes, as a little kid, I just picked it up because His blessing was there. But what did Frank do with it when he became a teenager and hit high school and started partying with the friends? He started playing in bands that didn't honor God. He started playing in clubs and bars that didn't honor God. And I did that for 20-odd years. I played in several bands here in the valley. We traveled sometimes. And it looked good for a while. It looked good because I was having fun. But every day, every weekend I woke up, I felt like crud. I felt horrible. I felt sick. And I always felt a void. Something was missing. Every time I woke up from the good time I had, it was Jesus Christ that was missing. Because I was refusing it. Here I have this gift to just hear a song and I know it. Please. Me and my wife go over this all the time. And she goes, well, just God gifted you, son, honey. God gifted you. I can't even explain how I do it. Most of these songs, Victor just names them, and they just, it's like a file in my brain. Oh, there's that song. That's how it goes. It just doesn't come. It's God's power. A gift He gave me, and you all have a gift in you. You just don't want to use it. And that wall that you need to jump daily that you're battling with, you're making the wall bigger. You wall it up. You finish off the wall. God just puts a little hurdle for you to jump, and you make it bigger because you want to be like that chip and turn back and do it your own way. This is a convicting message, but it's from God, not from me. Common grace. He'll restrain us if you let Him. Second point, sovereign grace. What is sovereign grace? Sovereign grace is God's sovereignty and graciousness. God's sovereignty and graciousness. Sovereignty is God in total control. Nothing surprises Him. Nothing. Oh my gosh. I didn't know He was going to crash. Oh my gosh. I didn't know He was going to do that. It doesn't surprise Him. He already knows. God's not like, oh my gosh, I can't believe so-and-so did that or said that. Oh, I missed it. That's not the God we serve, folks. He's right there. He's always watching His children. Because a lot of times in here it says He protects His. So that means He's watching us like a mommy or a daddy watches their child. You can be in a party or in a house and one of us have a wandering eye. We can see our children from way back here. And you're, hold on, just before they fall or anything. That's a gift we have. God is the same way. His eye's always wandering, watching over us. But if you want to be that mule, if you want to have that hard heart, if you want to turn from His grace, He'll more gladly let you. Because that makes Him righteous. It makes Him fair to let you choose. Because if He didn't let you choose, we'd be like robots. We'd do exactly everything He told us. So where does righteousness come in? We're not robots. We're a created being in His image, and He gave us free will. And a lot of people always say this to me. I don't know, Frank, my life's a mess. I don't know what happened. The first thing I say, well, let's reject all the way back to when you started. One of the first things I ask people is, how was your childhood? How was your upbringing? Guys, I had a perfect upbringing. Yeah, we were poor. We didn't have much, but I never saw my parents fighting. I had a pretty good upbringing, but when Frank could make his choices as a teenager into his adulthood, that's when it started going downhill, when through my eyes I thought I was going uphill because that's how the world lived. But spiritually I was going the opposite way at the same time. You see? The world will paint you a picture, and their grace ain't good. That grace is not good. As a matter of fact, it's not even grace. The world's way is the wrong way. It looks good, but it isn't. God's sovereign power is all over that. All things are caused and allowed by God for His purpose and His will only. Look at Romans 11:36. Romans 11:36 says this. Everything is from Him and by Him and for Him. Glory belongs to Him forever. That's why I said earlier, these drums I play, I don't glorify myself. I give glory to God, and I thank Him every day for that gift. You know what I say after 20, 30 years of drumming? I say, God, give me more. I want to be an awesome worship drummer for You so the people in the congregation can feel Your presence. I don't pray, God, make me a better drummer so people can see me and I can show off. Watch out for those words. Watch out. Because we'll do that. Don't glorify man, even where you work. Work hard for God. So what, they give you a load of work? Do it. God's being glorified. Your children are driving you crazy. Glorify God. But get away from them sometimes. Have a one night out. I encourage couples to have one night. If you're married or have a boyfriend or girlfriend, have one night of the week and go out alone. It's so important for a couple to get away from the kids if you have kids. Get away for one night. I made it special. After all my years as pastoring and my experience, me and my wife have two nights. I made it Monday and Friday. I try not to answer texts or do any kind of counseling on those nights, in which sometimes they come in anyway. I tell her, honey, I apologize to her. I just don't want to miss the opportunity of witnessing to someone. And she doesn't have a problem with it. There's Mondays people come, and Fridays people call and text. They want to talk. How dare me if I say, you know what, I got a date night with my wife. Unless it's super important and I'm going to tell everyone, don't call me this Friday. But 80% of the time, me and my wife say, yeah, come over. We'll talk to you about Jesus. It's our mission in life, man. We come second. Souls come first. Lives come first. You are important to God. And His grace is always there. His sovereignty. Because everything comes from Him. Look at 1 Corinthians 8:6. But for us, there is only one God, the Father. Everything came from Him. And we live for Him. There's only one Lord, Jesus Christ. Everything came into being through Him, and we live because of Him. Why do we live? Because of Jesus. Why do we exist? Because Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit thought of us before He even created anything. He planned for you to be here this morning, hearing me holler at you God's word. That's why you're here. He brought you today. You might have said yesterday, the other day, or this morning, I'm going to go to church. Well, guess what? God's sovereignty came over you and said, you're going to go to church. Did you know that before you even think a thought, God already knows what you're going to think? He does. Every word that's going to come out of your mouth, He already knows what you're going to say. So what's the best thing to do? Talk about the Lord. Talk about His goodness. Glorify Him in your suffering. Tell Him you're struggling. Tell people, testify, you know what, I'm going through this, but God's going to help me through it. I don't like how this is feeling right now, but God's in control. His sovereignty's in my life. That's how we should, the words we should be using. His sovereignty is powerful. Sovereignty is power and control, and only God can do that. God's in total control, past, present, or future. Stop worrying. Stop stressing. God's got this. As humans, oh, we worry so much. I do it too. My wife's like, yeah, every Sunday morning, you're up praying and pacing, and we're driving home. She goes, honey, you do this every Sunday. Look at you now. You're all relaxed. I just want to make sure God speaks. But yeah, I get nervous too, because I don't want to get up here and just bring you bubblegum and a sweet message. I want to bring you truth that convicts. God's word that's powerful and penetrates our heart, our soul, our bone to the marrow, the Bible says. I don't want to come up here and sugarcoat you a message. Oh, my week was great. My boss is awesome. La, 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 la. Let's be real, man. I had a rough week. I talk with people that want to talk about God without a Bible. And the list goes on. What am I going to gain by complaining? I need to remember His grace is there. And He's in control. Mary received and experienced God's sovereignty power. Mary received the Virgin Mary's sovereign grace. Look at Luke 1:28. When the angel entered her home, he greeted her and said, you are favored by the Lord. The Lord is with you. She was confounded. I'm going to have a baby without having relations? Wow. But she went and believed it. And what happened? She was pregnant because she believed it. She didn't doubt what she heard from the angel. Are you doubting what you're reading in the Bible? Are you leaning more to what you're hearing other people say or other books that are not biblical? Other theories? I have this argument with this guy all the time. He believes in science. And I told him this the other day, it's good everything your scientists are saying and what you're telling me, but all that is theory. I told him, Bible is fact. It's well-known history. Why are we still talking about it? I haven't heard a sermon on George Washington every Sunday, right? I don't see people reading the story of Hitler every weekend, right? This book has never been shut. This book's active and alive. The Bible is powerful. And His sovereignty comes on you, and God will make anything happen. Look at Paul, what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is within me. He was pressing towards the mark. This man, Paul, was knowledge in all the Old Testament. He was so smart, like these lawyers and attorneys that just get people off the case, the smart. Paul was that man. And that's why I believe that people that come to me with all this head knowledge and have no spiritual knowledge, I'm sorry, but I can't talk with you because you don't want to talk spiritually. That head knowledge sounds good to me, but let's talk about what God says. And they can't buy that. They want to stick to their head knowledge and not God's knowledge. We need God's knowledge. We need the Holy Spirit to give us that wisdom. And Paul knew this. Everything he suffered, he glorified God. He blinded him because he was killing Christians. And on the way to Damascus, God got his attention. How did he do it? He blinded him. You know why he had to blind Paul? Because he had to show him how blind he was spiritually. All his knowledge was good, but he was spiritually blind, spiritually undiscerned. He didn't know Jesus Christ. I talk with very intelligent people sometimes, and I can be a little intimidated, but you want to talk about Jesus all throughout His Word. I am not intimidated because I believe in His Word, and I believe in His power for what He can do. That person rejected or not, I am going to throw out Jesus. We need biblical knowledge and the power of God's sovereignty over our lives. Paul knew that. Even atheists enjoy God's sovereignty grace. Atheists. You know what an atheist, right? Don't believe. My oldest brother's an atheist. We have great discussions. We talk. We hang out when I visit mom. He's my brother. That's not going to stop me from talking with him and visiting with him. Once in a great while, he'll bring up God and have some questions, and I'll answer him, and that's it. But he doesn't believe. And he is also privileged with this sovereign grace. How is that? I said it earlier. How does he eat? Where does food come from? How does he breathe? I've asked him that. He can't answer it. He thinks we just blew up into existence. So I told him, okay, if we came from monkeys like you believe, why is there still monkeys? Oh, well, he'll mumble a little bit. I go, okay. On the third day, God created everything that had fruit. And on the fifth day, He created bees. If He didn't create bees and the vegetables and stuff weren't pollinated, they would all die. We wouldn't reproduce vegetables and fruits, right? Oh, okay, I guess. It's right there. We need bees to pollinate the flowers so it can produce. God knew exactly what He was doing. These scientists, these evolutionists can't answer these questions. And they're in here. The answers are in here. They're simple. We're all theologians in here. You can answer them that because it's God's Word. And if you believe in its power, it will do stuff. Things don't happen because you doubt. Things don't happen because you fear. Trust me, every Sunday I come up here, the first 5 seconds I believe, I'm a little nervous. I'm like, oh God, I'm nervous, my stomach's turning. But here I go, and I open my mouth and He does the rest. We have that in us. Sovereignty, God's sovereign power comes on us. And these atheists also enjoy it. Look at this. Sin will never outdo grace. Sin will never outdo grace. I can say that flippantly because Romans 5:20 tells me. Because people can tell me, okay, Frank, sin's dominating the world. Yeah, it's tearing it up, but it's tearing up people, and people are killing people. That's true, but God's grace abounds more. Look at Romans 5:20. It says that God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. That's pointing to the Ten Commandments right there. All God's saying is, look, in the Old Testament, that's all the bad things they're doing. And that's all the bad things people do. Look, it goes on. But as people sin more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Why do you think right now in these last days, a lot of people, a lot of our members, families, or someone you know are coming to Christ? Because in the end times, that grace is just going to be pouring and pouring and pouring. Because one day God's going to say, that's it. I'm shutting the window. We're done. My son's going to come get my people. That window of grace is still open. It's pouring out. And if you're not telling someone you love or like to know Jesus, that window's going to close on them. It's our responsibility. Remember what Jesus told the disciples just before he ascended? The last thing he said in the last chapter, I believe it's chapter 20 or 21 at the very end. He goes, go and make disciples of all nations, of everyone. Tell your cousin, tell your uncle. Yeah, they're going to laugh at you. Yeah, they're not going to believe in you, but they're going to face God one day. And when they face God, they're going to tell your family member, try to tell you cannot enter. It's a scary thought. Some of my family members, myself, probably ain't going to make it in. But I've done my part. Because they all know already my position. They have respected the position I hold as a minister because of God. Not because of me. And they respect that now. So when they face God, my atheist brother faces God, he might not make it in. Your brother tried to tell you all these years. And you believed in evolution. I never knew you. Jesus said, I never knew you. Those are scary words for me, personally. I'd hate to face Jesus and be right there at the pearly gates. Hopefully, Peter's not there with all these questions. And Jesus tells me, I never knew you. That should put fear. It makes my heart pound. I live as hard as I can for Jesus every day. Am I perfect? No. But I know about his grace now. Because there's common grace and there's sovereign grace. It's always there. His power's ready for us, but we don't want to use it. You know what we're doing? That 4-foot wall we kind of trip over daily or weekly or whatever you struggle with, we're putting more bricks on it. We don't want to deal with it. We wall up. Every day he knocks it down, and we wall it up. Some of you are good construction workers by now. Probably get a job anywhere doing construction. And I say that in love. Because I was guilty of that. I would wall up. I want no one around me. So I knew about love. And more importantly, grace. I need to give grace to those that aren't loved. There's loved ones that think they're not loved, and I got to reach out, man. Shame on me if I'm not. What kind of example am I? Where will they see Jesus if I don't reach out to that family member that needs some love? Go ahead and hug on them. I don't care if they stink and haven't showered. I really don't. I really don't. Because God's sovereignty. Jesus hung out with the worst of them. He went up to the paralytics and no one can touch. And he hung out with them. He went to the prostitutes that men thought the scum of them. And he saved them. And he gave these women a new life, a new perspective, a new hope. Guess who was always around in the New Testament when things happened? Women. The men are falling asleep. We're being proudful. We're being arrogant. We're being lazy. The Bible says the man is the leader of the home. God's calling men now to bring their partner next to them. And men just have too much pride. And God's sovereign power is there, willing. Sovereignty of God is good. I love conviction. I love how it works. We need it. We need to know we can jump that little wall instead of building up on it. Amen? My last point, saving grace. Saving grace. This is the biblical term for saving grace. Unmerited divine assistance. Unmerited divine assistance. That means God is doing it. God's grace saves, period. People don't want to be saved no more. They're running to other things that they think is going to save them. They're running to other beliefs, other methods, and they're not saved. Look at Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. God freely gives this grace. saving grace to people like he did to me one day over 20-odd years ago. He reached down and said, Frank, do you want to be saved? Do you want to believe in my son? I was at the bottom of the barrel. What else did I have but to look up? Say, yeah, Jesus, come into my life. Can you change it? And God, if you're real, by the way, show me. Show me you're real. The very next day, I get home. My neighbors are waiting with the drugs and the alcohol. You know the story. I tried to consume it, and I couldn't no more. I told the guy, I'm done. What do you mean you're done? I'm a Christian now. I didn't do it by my power. I know what I felt when I said, Jesus, come into my heart. All this crud came out, and I'm being worked on every day. Every day I'm being worked on. I'm going on 17 years now, and I'm still working on it. You're never there, but just remember his grace. I'm hurtling these walls, man. Sometimes I'll hit it and fall. Dust off and keep going. And I have an encourager, my wife. If you have a partner, I hope she's encouraging you, not beating you down. And men likewise. Husbands, encourage your wife. Don't tell her, why did you do that? Tell her, how can we make it work? How can I help you? Instead of telling her, you made a mess. What were you thinking? Let's fix it. How can we make it right? You've been given grace. We should give grace. We're alive. We're saved. We believe in Jesus. Then work with your partner. Work with those loved ones that can't be loved. I've had those loved ones in my family cuss me out and throw stuff in my face. And I'm still there, man. I'm still there. Because I know God's always there trying to reach for me. Frank, come on. Work on it. You got to keep going. I know you can clear the four-foot wall. And when I feel I can't, I got my encourager to remind me, my wife. You got this, honey. So what if you didn't go to college and you're speaking ain't that well? God's using you. She encourages me. She intimidated me at first because she's a college teacher. Like, oh, gosh, I got to speak in front of a college teacher? And Jerry with all his knowledge back there too, and Jeremiah. I felt so intimidated when I first started speaking to Rem. When they asked me, I was like, yeah, I'll do it. I love to do it. Yeah, I'm ready to preach for you guys. I'll take turns with you guys. Sure. I was so scared. Then a teacher shows up. Then I see like doctors and firemen, like, oh my gosh. But look at God's grace. This is God's power. You live it and he'll make it happen. God's saving grace is nothing we can do. Saving grace is for anyone. Look at Romans. Romans 21 and 22. Now, the way to receive God's approval has been made plain in a way other than Moses' teachings. Moses' teachings and the prophets tell us this. Everyone who believes that God's approval through faith in Jesus Christ, there's no difference between people. God does not have favorites. He's not favorable. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to believe in Jesus. That includes that loved one we have. That includes your neighbor. That includes your boss, your coworker, that uncle or aunt that no one likes. You be praying. If you can't go confront them verbally, be praying for them from far. I'm praying for people nonstop that I haven't talked to from far or don't want to be talked to from close. I'm not going to stop praying because God gave me grace, so I have to give grace. You're privileged. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. It's privileged grace, guys. It's God's. And we need to use it. So let me say this. You might be in a position today of impossibilities. Because I always hear this, oh, Frank, but you don't understand. I know I don't understand. You're right. But God does. He understands your impossible position you're in. He understands the impossibility you're facing. He understands that wall you keep building up and he knocks down for you. He understands those waves that are hitting your life. He understands. Look at Luke. Memorize this verse. Look at Luke 18:27. Jesus said, the things that are impossible for people to do are possible for God to do. Stand on that one. You know what, Lord? This hurdle looks like 5 feet today, but if you say I can do it and it's possible, I'm going to do it. And you go for it. You go for it. I hope I encourage you to go for it. I'm facing some things in my life right now that, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. Wherever he takes me, I'm going to go. It's fearful sometimes, yeah, but I need to stand on that scripture. I think I can't do it. It's impossible. It looks too big for me, but I'm going to go for it. Because it says right here, nothing's impossible for God. And if you believe for God's word, for its face value, there it is. Stand on it. Nothing's impossible for God. Salvation is God's work. He gives the grace and the faith we need. Saving grace is from Christ himself. Amen. Ah, it's done. Worship team, come on up. We're done. I have a song. I found an old song that kind of ties in to this grace that just is there. This privileged grace we have. And I pray you make this song simple, words are kind of repetitive, but it's a prayer. I heard this song years ago as a young Christian. It never left my heart. I always remember it once in a while, mainly when I'm singing to my wife at home. I sing a lot to my wife around the house, and she just loves it. Look at her smile over there, because I sing horrible. She's like, stop. I'm always singing because I'm praising God for the life he's given me. I'm praising God for that grace he's given me. I'm thanking God for who he pulled me out of and where he's put me. I'm thanking God every minute that I can because it's him that does it, not me. I am at where I'm at because he put me here. Paul said it. I am what I am because of Jesus Christ. You are who you are because of Jesus Christ. You didn't come to your own salvation. Don't think that you came to Jesus and you got saved. No, he wooed you in. Nothing you did. I always hear that a lot. Oh, I came to Jesus in 19. So no, you didn't. He's brought you. That's in Scripture. It's all in here. His grace is always wooing people because that window's going to close. That grace is going to stop one day. We need to be ready for that grace and to reach as many as we can for the kingdom of God. Amen? So forget that impossibility. It was his work on the cross that saves us, period. It is the cross of Jesus Christ that brought us this wonderful grace, and it'll always be open to whoever wants it until that window closes. Amen. God is good. And all the time, let's get up and sing this song. Amen.
Fix my eye.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.